Welcome to ClinPharm Pod. I'm Elena Webster, Deputy Managing Editor for the ASCBT Journal family. My guests today are Dr. Karthik Venkatakrishnan, Vice President, Global Head of Quantitative Pharmacology at EMD Serono and Associate Editor for Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics, Dr. Iris Minichmeyer, Assistant Professor, Clinical Pharmacometrician, Pharmacist at the Medical University of Vienna and Associate Editor of CPT, and Dr. Richard Peck, Honorary Professor at the University of Liverpool and former Associate Editor for CPT. And we're once again welcoming back Dr. Pete Vandergraaf, Senior Vice President for QSP at Certara and Editor-in-Chief of Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics. It's really great to have you all here today, and I appreciate you taking the time to stop by ClinPharm Pod. So CPT published Getting the Dosage Right. How did the CPT editorial team decide on this particular theme?
Dosage is a foundationally important aspect of the work we do in clinical pharmacology. Our discipline is aimed at getting the dosage right across all clinical contexts of use, across all patients. This is about the right amount of the dose, given at the right time, at the right frequency, and the right method and route of administration. And all of that really together is dosage and getting it right. Dosing medicines correctly in a way that maximizes the benefit versus risk for all patients is at the heart of our discipline. As such, this was an easy decision of the editorial team to dedicate an issue of CPT to this topic. As a journal, CPT has been the home for a lot of seminal work aligned with dosage optimization. We've had past issues on topics like precision dosing and dosage optimization in oncology. And so this opportunity to have a full theme on getting the dosage right is fully aligned with the vision and mission of our discipline.
Thank you. Richard, and I'm not just asking you this question because you've recently retired, would you give us an overview of where precision dosing started and how it's advanced to what's contained in this issue?
Sure. And I guess sometimes I have to get used to being one of the older people in the room. Precision dosing. So if I define precision dosing, what I really mean is getting the right dose for each individual patient. It's at that level. And it's not new. It's been around for 100 years at least, because it was the only way that a few drugs could be dosed to make them at all effective. Most obviously, things like insulin and warfarin, where it's quite clear that each individual, the dose has to be tailored precisely to them. But for most drugs, it was possible to find a dose level that could be given to the whole population and you would get reasonable efficacy and an acceptable level of adverse effects. And giving everyone the same dose is fairly easy for prescribers. But prescribers always knew that there were some patients who probably didn't need that dose and would have a lower dose would have worked just as well, and other patients who probably needed more. And I think two things are helping us revisit this idea. One is the advent generally of precision medicine in the last 10 years or so, recognizing that patients with apparently the same disease don't all need to be treated the same way. And although that starts with what's the right drug, it's beginning to also get and how much might they need. And the second thing that's happened is advances in technology. We've now got, you know, many more biomarkers that we can measure to help us understand what drugs are doing. We've got sophisticated modeling techniques. We've got machine learning, which can interrogate data and find patterns that, you know, most of us wouldn't be able to find otherwise. And of course, we've got much more data easily available through electronic health records. And lastly, we've got clinical decision support systems coming out, which actually make all this complexity something that can be put in front of a prescriber in a way that they can still, you know, actually do effective prescribing. So I think we have, you know, a lot more potential. I would just say in finishing, you know, whilst my vision is individualized dosing, I think I'd recognize that in some cases we still actually have to get better at just getting the population dose right. And that's an important place to start. And I would encourage people to read the commentary in this, the themed issue from Mark Rattan, which I think touches quite nicely on some of these issues.
Excellent. Thank you. Iris, you, Karthik, Pete, and Dr. Mohamed Shebly collaborated on the editorial for this issue. Tell me why the one-size-fits-all approach is going by the wayside, and how does this issue address personalized medicine and drug development at every step from bench to bedside?
the one-size-fits-all approach in medicine is becoming outdated because it doesn't take into account the variability in drug exposure and response between patients. So a treatment that works well for one person might be ineffective or even harmful for another. And this is why personalized medicine is so important, including finding the right dose to give patients the most benefit while minimizing side effects. In drug development, figuring out the right dosage is crucial at every step from the lab to human trials. If the wrong dose is chosen early on, it can negatively impact the probability of success in later phases. This CBT issue features various strategies for selecting the right dose, both in first-in-human and later-phase studies, and even for novel modalities like immunomodulators. Many studies also highlight the value of using modeling and simulation to optimize dosing. These models range from empirical population PK/PD models to mechanistic quantitative systems pharmacology models that also consider detailed components of biological systems. There's also the exciting potential of virtual twins, which are models of individual patients that can help personalize treatment. Even after a drug is approved, making sure the right dose is used in clinical practice is just as important. Therapeutic drug monitoring and model-informed precision dosing are increasingly extended to previously underrepresented areas, like, for example, oncology drugs or biologics like monoclonal antibodies. Beyond just getting the dose right, there's also a focus on setting individual treatment targets to further refine personalized care.
Thank you. Pete, the editorial calls special attention to dosing in oncology, particularly as it relates to the FDA's Project Optimus, which we highlighted in the November 2022 issue of CBT. What can readers look forward to on this topic?
Thanks, Elena. The theme covers a wide range of topics and applications in various diseases. But indeed, there are several important contributions in the area of oncology. The state-of-the-art review by Raman and colleagues from FDA certainly stands out as the most up-to-date, comprehensive and authoritative overview of Project Optimus. Two white papers will also be invaluable resources. One by the International Consortium for Innovation and Quality in Pharmaceutical Development, IQ, on dose optimization in oncology drug development. And the other one, on first-in-human dose selection, by the Health and Environmental Science Institute, HESI.
Thank you. Karthik, CBT always tries to highlight research into understudied and underserved populations, and I think we make a particular effort to do so in our themed issues. There's some great research along that vein included here. What papers would you suggest for readers interested in advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion in clinical pharmacology and translational science?
Thanks, Elena. Indeed, it's critically important to develop medicines at the right dosage, not only for the typical patient, but for our diverse patient population, including all patients who will qualify for treatment with the medicine in real-world settings of use. I would point to three papers in this issue of CPT that really get to addressing diverse, inclusive drug development and use of medicine. The first one is a state-of-the-art review article on physiologically based pharmacokinetic modeling by Karen Roland Yeo et al. If we think of the various tools in clinical pharmacology that have enabled diverse and inclusive drug development, PBPK modeling certainly stands out. This approach has matured over the years in delivering evidence in support of the right dosage across all patients and clinical contexts of use in product labeling, in prescribing guidance for medicines. And so this is a state-of-the-art review article. I would highly encourage our readers to read to increase their understanding and appreciate the impact PBPK modeling has had on our discipline. The second paper I'll point to is one by Sandhya Mandlekar et al. And that paper specifically looks at patient-centric sample collection technologies for pharmacokinetic assessment of large and small molecules. It's a good example of our efforts as a discipline to enhance patient-focused drug development. Pharmacokinetic data collection is central to being able to understand sources of variability in drug exposure and exposure-response relationships, which is how we get the dosage right across all patients. And doing that in a more patient-centric way is an opportunity that's highlighted by this publication. The third paper I'd like to highlight is addressing the needs of the elderly, the geriatric patient population. In their work by Jean Valerie Sia et al., they evaluated aging-related functional changes in cytochrome P450 3A activity in Chinese older patients using amlodipine as model substrate. Their work has some really important potential implications. They indicate that focusing on frailty rather than chronological age should be considered as a more relevant approach for purposes of defining dosage requirements in older adults, because frailty may more accurately reflect an individual's biological age, something that I'd like us all to reflect on as we consider defining the right dosage across the age in our elderly patients.
Thank you. The perspectives and commentaries in themed issues are always particularly interesting, and they often ask readers to commit to change within the field, a call to action, if you will. What actionable takeaways will readers find in this issue?
One key takeaway from this issue comes from a perspective article that suggests expanding model-informed drug development beyond just clinical trials, meaning that also factors like epidemiology and health economics should be considered. The authors provide several real-world examples that show how these extended MIDD approaches can help create treatments that are both clinically effective and economically viable, while also forecasting broader public health impact. Another perspective article calls for a paradigm shift in pediatric clinical pharmacology research and education that moves beyond the right dose to the right exposure to integrate exposure-based dosing strategies into routine clinical practice. The article emphasizes the need for multidisciplinary teams that combine the expertise of pharmacologists, pharmacists, and prescribers. The authors also stress the importance of cross-trained professionals who can bridge the gap between research and clinical practice. A third perspective article calls for the development of clinical dose optimization tools, not only for high-risk subspecialty patients, but also for broader patient groups. The authors also point out regulatory issues that need to be clarified related to point-of-care dose optimization software. And last, the issue features two perspective articles from the ASCPT Translational Precision Medicine Network and from the ASCPT Precision Dosing Community. The Precision Dosing Community highlights five key challenges in precision dosing. And these challenges include applying precision dosing during drug development, improving clinical trials with individualized dosing arms, finding biomarkers to better understand why people respond differently to drugs, building confidence in model-informed precision dosing, and finally, making sure that precision dosing can be effectively implemented in clinical practice. Of course, there are important factors like data protection, ethical considerations, and reimbursement issues that need to be addressed. And once precision dosing is adopted, studies are needed to show its benefits over standard approaches.
Thank you. Richard, what about real-world applications? Any particular papers you would point readers toward? And how do we move these approaches from the lab or trial phases to patients' bedsides?
Real world is the opportunity. One of the big problems we have with clinical trials is that they exclude many patients who then need to be treated. And we kind of have to assume that what we learned in the trial applies to them. And it might not, because often they're excluded from the trials because they might not respond the same way. And so real world data and real world use are critically important. I think there are two papers in the journal that I would highlight. Both of them actually come from the Netherlands, indeed from the same city, from Nijmegen. I won't ask Pete to correct my pronunciation, but there's one from the first author is Judith Berricks Engbreken, which is the first, which deals with vancomycin, sorry, this one, and uses real-world data to explore, have we really got some of the infusion doses of vancomycin right? But the second study, first author is Jules Janssen-Dahlen. For me, that's the first paper I've seen that not only uses real-world data, but actually uses primary care data and puts together, develops a precision dosing algorithm for use in primary care. The few things that have been explored to date have largely been around intensive care units or at least hospital, but many patients are treated in primary care. So I think it's fantastic that they put an algorithm together here to explore dosing with thyroxine in patients who are hypothyroid. And very neatly, they actually describe a prospective trial which involved simulated patients, but real doctors, to test the algorithm and show that it gave better results and that it could be used by general practitioners. In terms of getting precision dosing into patients, there are many challenges. I'm going to highlight just one, which is I think we're going to need involvement from regulators and or the expert societies, the professional bodies, because they need to guide and provide some kind of official statement of approval that a precision dosing algorithm is acceptable and is something clinicians can use. Sadly, as a former journal editor, I'm not sure that just having a paper in a journal is good enough. We need this additional stamp of approval. There are several papers actually in the themed issue from regulatory authorities speaking to some of their issues on dose, although it's still largely population level. We really have to think how we're going to connect to the therapeutic specialist societies so that they can help take a lead, I think, in actually putting this into treatment guidelines.
Thank you. And finally, Pete, you know I love to talk about it, the cover. While I'm sure we have a few sculpting scientists who are members of ASCBT, I wouldn't say the juxtaposition of stone carving and medicine is a common one. Tell me about collaborating to come up with the cover design.
Ha, yes. Like you, Elena, I love to talk about the CPT covers, and being involved in the design of them is one of the most fun parts of being a journal editor. The covers are always the result of a team brainstorm, which starts with everyone describing ideas in one or two sentences. From this, we select a concept that captures the essence of the theme in an eye-catching manner. So, for getting the dosage right, we ended up with a sculptor chipping away at a block of marble from which a capsule is emerging. The idea is, of course, that she can make the capsule the perfect size and that each sculpture is personalized.
Thank you. As always, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I want to thank all of you for your hard work and dedication in putting together this impressive issue. Are there any thoughts you'd like to share before we close out?
I guess I've got one, Alana, which, let me be a bit provocative. You know, so much of clinical pharmacology, including so much of dosing work to date, has been based around matching drug exposures and using pharmacokinetics. And I think that's clearly a reasonable thing to do at the population level, but I'd really like to challenge the readership of the journal and indeed the clinical pharmacology community to recognize it's probably not going to be particularly helpful at the individual level. You know, the same exposure in different patients can lead to very different effects. And we've really got to understand, really start exploring and understanding all the other sources of variability between patients, particularly in how the same exposure translates to different effects, pharmacodynamic variability, the impact of variability in the disease itself. I think these things are going to be critically important if we really want to understand why different patients respond differently. Kinetics has been useful in the past, been very useful in the past. I really think we've got to get beyond it. I started by talking about insulin and warfarin, neither of which are dosed according to the concentration of the drug. They're dosed according to an indicator of how effective that drug is being.
Excellent points. Thank you, Richard.
This has been a fantastic opportunity for a number of members of not only our editorial team at CPT, but also the editorial board to come together and think through this critical topic of dosage selection and getting it right for all our patients. I'm particularly thankful to Pete, Richard, Iris, and also Mohammed Shevli from our editorial board. It was a fantastic experience working with everyone in getting this issue together. Thank you all.
Thank you, Karthik. Again, thanks so much for speaking with me today. This has been so fun, and I'm already looking forward to chatting about the next themed issue with you soon. Thank you for listening to ClinPharm Pod. You can find a link to the full issue in the description of this episode. While you're here, be sure to check out past episodes, and remember to visit ascpt.org for updated podcast releases, our latest webinars, and the most recent issue of all three journals.